And we've invited you in here today to help us understand what's happening with the local, regional, state elections.
I'll do my best. It's confusing sometimes. And I think probably the place to start is at the very top of the ballot, because obviously people know there's a presidential election. If you don't know that, you probably want to be listening to something else. but if you know that, then you also may want to know a little bit more about what's down the ballot, sometimes just referred to as down ballot. And the first stop, I think, and I haven't seen the ballot, because the ballots really couldn't be completed, the final ballots for the November 6th election, until the primaries were completed, because that's how we choose, or some of the parties choose their candidates, because people want to have the right to vote and on who runs, as opposed to who the final winner will be in the election. So the primaries finished just a few weeks ago, and some of them weren't really finished until last week. But the first one where there wasn't a primary, below the presidential race, will be for U.S. Senate. That'll be Kirsten Gillibrand versus Wendy Long. Kirsten Gillibrand being the Democrat, Wendy Long being the Republican. They also have other parties that have nominated them. And they will be on the ballot. Ms. Gillibrand, probably some people here know, used to live in Greenport. And she was the congresswoman for this area, and then was appointed to the position of senator, and now is running for a term of her own. She filled out the term of Hillary Clinton, who had gone on to become Secretary of State, and was appointed by Governor David Pattison to the position of senator. And so her opponent, Wendy Long, is a New York City lawyer. I have some background, and it's escaping me, and that's not fair to her, I suppose, but she's mounted a campaign. She's been very visible on email. I know that because I get a lot of mail from her. She responds to Kirsten Gillibrand's statements or actions or votes, and is looking for ways to make herself known. I think she has been in the region. I don't know how much traveling she's done. I don't know what her budget is, so I can't really put that in perspective. And then we have the next race down is another federal race, which is for Congress. And we are now in the 19th congressional district. And by we, I mean pretty much all of your listing area. There may be some people in Albany County who aren't, but the majority of people in the coverage area in Columbia and Greene County would be in the 19th congressional district. And now a little digression. It's all different.
I know.
And it's really screwy, you know. But this happens every 10 years. And it comes from the Constitution of the United States. It says you got to have a census every 10 years to know how much representation there should be in the House of Representatives.
Right.
So it's very, very specific, and it's prescribed. So, okay, we did a census in 2010, but it wasn't ready for the 2010 election. But it had to be ready for the 2012, just like it had to be ready for the 2002 election, and so forth. And so now we have new districts, and they're drawn because New York lost a couple of congressional seats, and because therefore we had to make the districts larger, but they have to be relatively equal. So you have very small geographic districts in places like New York City and maybe Buffalo and things like that, places like that. And then you have huge districts, and that's the 19th. Right here in Columbia County, are currently represented by Chris Gibson, who won in 2010. And he is a Republican, and he's running for re-election. And we have a challenger, Julian Schreibman, who would not have been able to run against Chris Gibson in the last election because he was in a different congressional district. But now he's in the 19th because the congressional district has been shifted south. And it is now part of it has all of Columbia County, it has all of Ulster County, it has parts of Sullivan, or maybe all, actually I don't have the map right in front of me, but it has a lot of different places in the region, and extends out, I think, to Otsego County and Delaware County, which the old district did as well, but the old district went way up into the Adirondacks. And this one now goes further south into Dutchess County. So you've got Dutchess, and you've got Ulster, and you've got Sullivan. It's still a very, very large district. And it's hard to put one label on all of it, except that really there are this Kingston is, and Ulster County is the center of that district, which of course didn't happen before. And the interesting thing about that is that that county was represented, even though it had been many years a Republican county, was represented by Maurice, and still is, Maurice Hinchey, who is very progressive, and he has been very popular there for a long, long time. He started as assemblyman there. And so filling his shoes with on the progressive side is a difficult task, not to mention the fact that the registration in the district, as I understand it, favors a Republican. And Chris Gibson is popular with the Republican base. His popularity extends beyond the Republican base. And he is a former military officer, a full colonel, and he has combat experience in the Iraq War. And he is a Kinderhook native. And Julian Schreibman, the Democrat, is a native of Ulster County. And he also has an interesting story. Just to go back to Chris Gibson for a second in terms of a story, he was born in Kinderhook. He joined the military as basically a private, and I think he had some school training at the time. And then he went back into the military, stayed in the military, actually, and became an officer. And he rose to a very high rank, a colonel to a very high rank, and he had a command in Iraq. And then he left the military. He also has a PhD from Cornell. And he now is representing the district. Julian Schreibman, who grew up in the Woodstock area in Ulster County, went on to be the first member, I think, of his family. I think he said that he was the first member to go to college. He went to Yale, and he went to Yale Law School. And then he became, I'm not sure if I had the sequence of events right, but he went on to become a federal prosecutor. And then he ended up prosecuting terrorists with the Justice Department. And then he left the Justice Department, and he was an assistant district attorney in Ulster County, and he's been also in private practice. So they both have very interesting stories, and they are very, very different politically, and they have very different views. And I don't want to characterize their views so much as to say it's a race that has garnered a lot of attention. It is considered or was at one time a vulnerable district in terms of turnover, because the House, the Democrats need a sizable number of seats to change hands in order to gain control of the House. And it's not clear that that'll happen, but this was one of the seats that was being watched. Now, Mr. Gibson, as far as I know from the last Siena poll, was in the lead in the district, but Mr. Schreibman has considerable funding. There's a lot of, as far as I can tell, not only Republican and Democratic money coming from the congressional campaign committees, which identify themselves, but I believe there's money coming from super PACs for political advertising and maybe other activities. I don't know. We won't know until after the election. We'll know then. But whether that will sway the electorate, I have no idea. I know that the campaigns have been advertising a lot on television. And that's where you see it. We don't see as much television advertising for elections. It's hard to imagine, since we see a lot of it, as swing states, since New York is not a swing state. Right. It's a blue state. And it's pretty clearly, based on any rational analysis of the electoral composition of the state, it's going to go for Obama very strongly. Now, whether that will have any coattails or not is not clear.
What makes you think that there might be super PAC funding going into that race? Is it just the amount of money that there seems to be?
I actually don't have any particular evidence of it, and I want to be very careful to state that I don't. I believe there was discussion in the media, and I mean by that, I think it came up in the Times Union, the paper in Albany, that Crossroads, which is led by Karl Rove, the former Bush, George W. Bush advisor, was going to put money in the race. But I don't have any knowledge, direct knowledge of it. I also want to say that it's not illegal to do this. I mean, this has the imprimatur of law and Supreme Court decision. So this is not something that if it were true, would matter in any sort of legal sense or ethical or moral sense. It's just that this is the way the courts have determined that money can be spent. And so we're seeing a lot of money. We're seeing a lot of negative advertising on both sides. We're seeing negative advertising, some of it kind of silly, but and maybe it will have an impact. So, however silly it may be, it's not clear. And there are other congressional districts also that impinge on that same Albany television market. So it's like the rest of the media don't really exist. It's only being fought in television, mm-hmm. and maybe it's being discussed in the press. But anyway, that's that race. So that's kind of the third step down. Then there's something that probably people won't be thinking about at all, and they'll be surprised to see on the ballot. In this region, we're in the third judicial district, and there are two judges. Or seats that are open on the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court is the lowest court in the state system, not the highest. And by lowest, it only means it's this trial court. It's where a lot of mostly civil cases, but not exclusively. There's definitely are criminal cases that go to Supreme Court, but it's a very, very important court. It sets, for instance, when there are zoning disputes and land use disputes and environmental disputes, that's where it gets decided first mm-hmm. at the court level at the Supreme Court. So that's an important judgeship to watch. And there are two Democrats and two Republicans running for the two open seats. And they're appointed by judicial conventions. There's no primary for them, but there's a lot of political maneuvering in the background. We do know that who the candidates are. At least I'm sure of the Democrats. I believe I'm correct about the Republicans, so I'm gonna go on what I believe to be correct. Here, the Democrats, there's a man named Stephen Schick from, I believe he's Sullivan County, and Richard Mott, who's an attorney of some note from Columbia, and I say some note because he's tried a lot of high-profile cases, so he's well-known in the county. He's from Kinderhook, and he's the other Democrat running for, or one of the two Democrats, running for Supreme Court. I mean, this is state Supreme Court now. And the Republicans are Bernard Malone Jr. of Albany, and I can't speak I can't say anything about him other than that's the name that I have. And the other one is a sitting Supreme Court justice named Michael Kavanaugh. And for residents of Ulster County, that will be a familiar name because he was a longtime district attorney in Ulster County and then moved on to a judgeship. And so he's well known. And these are all people who have the qualifications according to the judicial convention. I would assume, knowing who Michael Kavanaugh, he's already a Supreme Court justice in the appellate division, I think, he's going to be considered qualified. I would assume, based on his appearances in court, I'm no lawyer, so I don't know, that Mr. Mott is qualified, and I'm assuming that the other two are highly qualified people as well. So, but those are important the political jobs. It's interesting that we have the right to vote on them. You don't have the right to vote on all judges. Certainly we don't vote on Supreme Court justices for the United States or any judges for that matter of the United States, but in this state we do vote on judges.
And what kinds of terms do they serve?
I believe it's a 10-year term. I want to be careful that mm-hmm. I'm not setting myself up as an absolute expert, but it's a long term, and I believe it's a 10-year term. So that's the next one. And then we get into the state legislative races. And I can't speak, unfortunately, for west of the Hudson, because I don't know what the state Senate is doing there. But I do know that the Senate race on the east of the Hudson, which is the 43rd state senatorial district, has garnered national attention. It's very seldom that a state Senate race will make, or primary for that matter, will make the front page of the New York Times.
Right.
But the 43rd did. And that's because Roy McDonald was and is still the senator in what was called the 43rd, but now the 43rd has been redistricted, so it's different. 43rd will now cover all of Columbia County, almost all of Rensselaer County, and reaches up into the eastern half of Saratoga County and a little bit of Washington County, which is north of Rensselaer County. So it reaches up the upper Hudson and then down the east side of the Hudson to just down to the bottom of Columbia County. So the large part of your listenership is probably there. And the 43rd district came to such prominence because there were four Republican senators who crossed over 2 years ago, I guess, and voted, or maybe it was last year, and voted for same-sex marriage in the Senate. And that was what it took to make same-sex marriages the law in New York State, and really making that right available to same-sex couples. And at the time that that vote happened, there were gay and lesbian groups who said that if those people in the Senate crossed over, anybody who did, they would find supporters come the next election, because there were the other side, the opponents of same-sex marriage, said, we are going to try to defeat those people. We're going to punish them politically. Now, it wasn't going to be possible much to punish the Democrats because they had support within their party. But the Republicans didn't. There was the Republican Party position in the Senate, for sure, and I think statewide, was the opposition to same-sex marriage. So when Mr. McDonald crossed over, he understood that he had that weight hanging around his neck in terms of somebody challenging him, and sure enough, someone did. Kathy Marchione, the county clerk of Saratoga County, became registered to become his challenger. She also ran in the conservative primary, and Mr. McDonald received the support without a primary of the Independence Party. Not an independent, but that party named Independence.
Right.
So it became very complicated. You're just scratching your head, saying, what's going on here? And there was there were primaries last month, and Mr. McDonald lost. Now, the question hanging was twofold. One is, would he run as a candidate on the Independence Party? And there was some thinking that he could win on that line in the ballot, just having that and not being a Republican, because moderate Republicans or Republicans, whatever their views, but who believed in the right of same-sex marriage, would cross over to vote for him, and that Democrats might cross over to vote for him, and certainly members of the gay and lesbian community, as a matter of gratitude and supporting courageous, and as kind of a message, right? Not just gratitude. It was considered a message to other politicians. You don't have to sacrifice your political career in order to vote for same-sex marriage. Well, he decided not to do it. But what it would have meant had he done it, that would the conservative vote might have been fractured. But then again, maybe the liberal vote might have been fractured too.
Right.
So it's not clear. And so now Kathy Marchione is the Republican and conservative candidate. See, she could have run as a conservative even if she hadn't. But anyway, that's all speculative. It doesn't matter now. She's the Republican and conservative candidate. And she faces Robin Andrews, who's the Claverick town supervisor.
Right.
And she's been in the race. She had no opponent because I think initially Mr. McDonald had been an assemblyman, and then he was a senator, and he was popular in his district. And it's clearly a conservative district, even though it's been redistricted to come down to Columbia County, which is now plurality Democratic voters, even though it's kind of a very much a split county. And people do split their tickets in Columbia County. So without dwelling too much on this, one of the things that the media has found fascinating about this race, and it's got to be said because it's just a part of the matrix of this election, is that Robin Andrews is a lesbian, and she was married after same-sex marriage became legal.
Hmm.
There was going to be, I think, perhaps more irony in that and more mileage to be made if Senator McDonald had stayed in the race.
If they were running.
And now it's just people with different views. And clearly in Claverick, it hasn't been an issue. I had no idea anything about her personal life. And we cover Claverick a little bit, not as much as I'd like to, but we do cover the news from there. And it never came up. There was no whispering campaign, nothing. It just didn't matter. And she was elected, and I think she's been a very popular supervisor. I don't hear people complaining. And often when you're in the news business and the local level, you hear a lot of sniping and that kind of thing. Well, that's not happening. So we have a race now in that district. Kathy Marchione is not well known down here in Columbia County. Certainly Robin Andrews is not well known in Saratoga County, where she's the county clerk, so she has a real base, and that is a populous part of the district. So it's going to be a race that people are going to have to watch and look at, and I think it's going to be... So anyway, we probably are running out of time, but there are still other races. Now, another race that affects the other side of the river, but as well gets over into Columbia County, is the new 102nd Assembly District, which it isn't represented by anybody because it didn't exist before, but it is, of course, parts of it are different. But it is it used to be a much worse district in terms of how it was gerrymandered. It was the craziest looking district, and there are still districts like that. But this one includes two towns in Columbia County, Stuyvesant, Stockport, but it includes all of Greene County, plus the town of Saugerties in Ulster County, plus the towns on the eastern side of Delaware County, plus all of Schoharie County, plus Otsego County. Go figure. But
that's the district that now has a like kind of a sneaky thing through Delaware and Otsego counties.
No, that's another district. That's actually that's a different district. If you look at the map, there, and that used to be the district because it was the 127th. It still is until the end of the year. And the 127th is represented by the candidate who's running in the 102nd, Pete Lopez. And Pete Lopez is, I think, had two terms and is I would describe him as a popular candidate, Republican, conservative candidate from that region. I believe he was Schoharie County Clerk, but I want to be very careful. He has held public office before, but in any case, he is known in parts of this district because it already is part of a district that he represents. And he is being challenged by Jimmy Miller. Now, if you don't watch TV in Albany, you probably don't know who Jimmy Miller is. But if you do, you would have known up till a year or so ago that he was the spokesman for the Albany Police Department. And he was also, before that, a state trooper. So he's had a long career in law enforcement. And he ran into a little trouble a while back. Obviously that's not going to be a part of his political resume that he wants to talk about. But I think people know it was highly publicized. It had to do with drinking and driving. This is not new in the world. I'm not going to characterize it in any way, but certainly that will play into it. At the same time, he's a Greene County native. And I think well known and well liked, and I believe he was reinstated in his position in Albany. But again, I'm a little bit foggier as we move west. I'm afraid I'm not as clear on what the issues are, except that the state assembly is going to be Democratic for a long time to come, and has been for a long time in the past, because it's based on population, and population in New York City in particular, but in urban areas is going to be, at this point, predominantly Democratic. And so the assembly is going to be controlled primarily by downstate assembly members. And so the question is, can Republicans or Democrats do a better job upstate, and what can they do because they're in the minority position? The Senate is a whole other thing, and we can go there if we have the time or have any interest in it. But let me just say that that's the 102nd. It will be a race because certainly Mr. Miller knows about the media and has a lot of contacts there, and probably a lot of goodwill from people he's talked to over the years. I don't know. But Mr. Lopez is popular, and I don't know whether there are polls, and if so, what the polls say. There are still more. Columbia County, with only 63,000 people, has three different election districts for assembly. And we haven't even talked about, and I'm not sure I'm qualified to talk about, all the local offices that are being up for election. And they're not a lot this year. This is an off year for local elections. Next year will be a big year for local elections.
But I definitely find the assembly districts in Columbia County particularly confusing.
Yeah, and it is, because we have an incumbent running for re-election, Dee Dee Barrett, but she had to actually move in order to be in the district that she won in a special election last year, and now she's running against Dede Barrett as a Democrat, is running in this district called the 106th, and it used to be the district that Mark Molinaro, who's now the the executive of Dutchess County, and so it gets really screwball. But the southern half, basically, of Columbia County, including the city of Hudson and reaching up into the town of Ghent, but then Claverick and Livingston and Taconic and Copaic and Gallatin, Clermont and Germantown, they're all, and Greenport, they're all in the 106th district, along with the central Dutchess County. In a, that's really a kind of gerrymandered way of setting up the district. And Ms. Barrett doesn't represent all of that at this point, but much of that district. And then she's being challenged by David Byrne, who's from Milan, so that could be a very tight race. I don't know. Well, you know, anytime you have an incumbent, Mr. Byrne has mounted a real race. There's competition there. I wish I knew more about him to balance it out. I know that he's a West Point graduate and served in combat zones overseas. I believe he's been a town councilman in Milan. I want to be very careful about how firm I am on my statements, because mm-hmm. I'm drawing from what I've read, and we haven't published a lot about the races yet, but certainly Ms. Barrett has been representing this area now for a while, for a few months actually, because she was elected last year. I'm trying to remember. You know, I'm trying to remember, because after Mark Molinaro
was in the special election.
So a special election.
Feels so recent.
Yes, right. So it was, and I'm trying to remember exactly when that. I think it was in the spring. So it, but then it was so tight that it had to go to recounts, right. And these things take long. And so I think it was in the summer before she was actually appointed. So where she actually took office, sworn in. But she's been very active in the district and had campaigned before. For state senate, so she's known in this area, and then we have the 107th district, which used to be the 108th. I mean, you know, just it's musical chairs or whatever analogy you want, a metaphor. It's just it's crazy, but that's what it is. And the 107th is currently there isn't a 107th, so it's not currently represented by anybody. But it is much of Rensselaer County, a little bit of Washington County, a little tiny bit, I guess, of maybe Saratoga County, not much. Or anyway, I'm not certain about that. But anyway, there's the northeast corner of Columbia County is part of that district, and extending down the spine along the Massachusetts-Connecticut border toward, or at least Massachusetts border toward, as far as Hillsdale. And that's a race between an incumbent, Steve McLaughlin, who represents the 108th, right? And it doesn't matter because it's only confusing. But this new district is the 107th, and he's the Republican. He's been very visible as an assemblyman, and he's running against Cheryl Roberts, the Democrat, and she she's been a local judge. And she also has come to some prominence, not only through her local legal work, she's an attorney, but she also was the lead attorney in a case that was decided in her client's favor, preventing or allowing communities to prohibit fracking. And there were two cases that were decided earlier this year, and it was the premise of her case that was one of the winning cases. Now, whether that'll be upheld on appeal, no one can say, but it was. It did bring up that issue. She's closely tied to that issue in terms of allowing towns to have their say and say, you know, we don't want this here. She's been the waterfront revitalization plan attorney here in the city of Hudson. So she's well known in the district, in the county for that, and Mr. McLaughlin, as I say, has been an energetic campaigner and assemblyman. But when you're in the minority in either house, whether it's the Senate or the Assembly, it's hard. I mean, sometimes they don't even give them offices, or they, you know, mm-hmm. they really mess with the minority parties. And it's kind of the tradition in Albany to say, you're the minority, we're going to treat you badly. So it's a form of discrimination, I guess.
Well, I don't know if we have time to go into more local elections, but I have to say I'm so grateful for that you just did that ballot down, what you called the
down ballot, the
down ballot and the matrix of this election. It really, I think, with the redistricting, the redrawing of the districts, it made it an already confusing matrix. I was reading today on the newsroom blog here. I was reading that that Shribman and Gibson had agreed to do this series of debates.
Three debates.
That's my only question is if there are, for people who want to follow these races, if there are other debates happening, or how else you recommend people staying.
Well, I know that the first Shribman Gibson debate is October the 10th in Kingston, at the middle school in the town of Ulster, and I can't remember.
Lake Katrine, I have it right here.
It's in Lake Katrine, at the school there, and I think it's at 7 o'clock. I don't know that the specifics of the other two debates. One is going to be in the Albany area, and one out in the western part of the district. The district doesn't actually cover Albany itself, but further north in the district. And I don't know yet. Today I learned of a proposed debate for the 107th, which was the last thing we talked about, the last district, at the library in it's called the Rojan Community Library, and it would be closest to Hillsdale, southern part of the district, between Shell Roberts and Mr. McLaughlin. Whether that will happen or not, it's just a proposal. So, anyway.
Well, Perry, thank you so much for joining us. Perry Teasdale, the editor-publisher at the Columbia County, is the former editor of the Columbia Independent. If anybody listened to this, wants to listen to it again, or just heard snippets, you can go to WGXC.org in a couple hours. We'll have it archived. I really can't thank you enough, Perry. Thank you.